I've been talking to you a long time about Jesus, that who is this Jesus? We need to know who He is because He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. We started out talking about some of the great things He did and the many things that He accomplished, what He went through. Then we got on His teachings. This is how you really know who somebody is, what they stand for. Boy, we've been finding out what people stand for, haven't we, the last couple of weeks? Yeah. I find some don't stand for much. But Jesus gave us this Sermon on the Mount. I've been preaching on for a long time now. Not finished yet. How many believe that we ought to pay attention to everything He said? You know, I kind of know how it is, you being a preacher. I can ask somebody next week what I preached on that. Well, I know what you're preaching, but I can't. Some going out the door have already forgot what a priest about. Either I'm not very effective or they've got a little bit of loose something going on up there. And so people can say about me as a preacher, well, you can take some of the stuff he said, but I don't take everything he says. You know. But with Jesus, He's the way, the truth, and the life to eternal life. We better pay attention to everything He said. We can't say about some of the stuff He says in the Sermon on the Mount, well, we just don't need that. The story told about a little boy who was sitting in the front seat of church. Pastor announced his sermon. He didn't look at any scripture or anything. He said, you know, parts of the Bible, we don't need that anymore. So he'd tell it out. And the little boy's daddy saw his Bible and said, man, half of your Bible's gone. What'd you do? He said, well, the preacher said we didn't need that. But we need everything that Jesus said. And we best pay attention to it.
Everything God said is a commandment.
I'm going to think about that a while.
Okay.
All right. So we better pay attention to all that He says to us. And you know, the last time I preached, I think I preached about the broad way and the narrow way. A lot of folks going in the broad way, it's easy traveling. In the narrow way, there's very few people that go by that way because it's a rough road. It's hard. You have to really climb to be in that way, but it's the way to eternal life. He follows that up with this. Listen to him. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Close your mind, close your eye, not your mind, close your eye. Kind of get that picture. Some guy standing in front of you that, boy, he looks good. He could look a lot like Pastor Lay. But inwardly, he's a ravening wolf. Wolf. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Pretty simple, isn't it? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Holy Spirit, we invoke your presence. We are about to proclaim the Word of God, the words of Jesus. He said some very important things. Everything he said, Lord, Holy Spirit, is important. And we want to be able to glean from what he said the truth for our hearts and our lives, so that we can know the truth. We can live our lives accordingly. So Holy Spirit, here this morning, Jesus said to us, beware. There will be false prophets, false preachers. There will come. So Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds and touch these feeble lips of clay that I might speak the truth, that our hearts will be challenged and we'll be on our toes because of your presence teaching us and leading us and guiding us in the right way. We ask it humbly in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
False prophets. Note what Christ is talking about in this passage. He is talking about preachers, prophets, men who proclaim and teach the gospel. They are some who are, he says, false. Men who proclaim and teach a false gospel. Christ says seven things about false prophets. Here they are. Their presence, he said, beware. Be on your toes. Their chief trait, they appear as sheep, but inwardly they are wolves. How many like to pet sheep? I go to the farm show almost every year and always end up at the sheep pen. I like sticking my hand down in that big coat of wool and shake it a little bit. And then those little guys, oh my goodness. They just melt your heart, don't they? But you know what? Every time I go up there, I never see a pen full of wolves. They don't bring them to the farm show. And I'm not so sure I'd want to try to pet one, even if somebody said he was tame. Amen? So beware, their chief trait of these false preachers, they appear as sheep. They appear nice and wonderful, but inwardly they're wolves. What's their revealing mark? The fruit they gather. That's what reveals who they are. Their true nature, it is not good, but corrupt and evil. Their hopeless fruit, they cannot bear good fruit. There's no way they can bring forth good fruit, but they only bring forth corrupt and evil fruit. And their terrible future is the judgment of God. And their fruit exposes who they are. False prophets. Jesus said they are present. They are among us. I want you to notice two emphases here. Jesus says, beware. Beware. And the original teaching or meaning of this word is to take heed, to guard, watch. Keep yourself. Now what Jesus is saying is it your obligation to make sure you don't get caught up into something false. In other words, he's saying, watch out who you're watching on TBN. Watch out who you're watching that's preaching a gospel, and most of all, they're wanting to sell you a book. With all that God has revealed to them. God has revealed what's here. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what book you buy from anybody. Nobody can ever claim that it is the infallible, inspired, written Word of God. This is the only one. There's only one. And this is the one you've got to follow. So, it's your obligation to be aware, to be on your toes, to take heed, to guard, to watch. The Holy Spirit is, in other words, not going to be running around. And if you have so-and-so preaching on the TV and he's not preaching the truth, the Holy Spirit's not going to put a thing up there saying, don't listen. God is saying, Jesus is saying, you need to be acquainted with the book. So you know what is right and wrong, and pay attention. Take heed. The word is emphatic. The warning is clear. And it made very strong by Christ. Christ warns us. One of the major things that keeps us from seeking the right gate and the right way, that is salvation and heaven, is false teachers. One of the things that keeps us from seeking the right gate, and the narrow way is false teachers. So it's up to us. It's our obligation to make sure we know what we're hearing and what we're listening to. For the time will come, said the apostle, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. In other words, they won't want to hear what's in the book. They won't want to hear what's in the Sermon on the Mount. They won't want to follow that, so they're going to follow somebody who will tell them what they want to hear. A couple of weeks ago, there was an obituary in the paper. I want to just illustrate this. He was born in March of 1982. So he was a young fellow. His obituary was in the Hagerstown paper. This is what it said. He went peacefully to be with the Lord on November the 12th, 2016. Born in Hagerstown, he was the loving son of... He attended school in Hagerstown. He graduated from Clear Spring High, 2000. He played at Morgansville Little League and American and Colt League, and participated in league bowling and APA pool. He attended church in Hagerstown, served in the Army National Guard, and worked during construction and mechanics. He was a talented artist and craftsman with passion for cooking and a connection through music. Spending time with family was a given. He enjoyed the outdoors, from dirt biking and four-wheeling to golfing and taking in a ball game. He loved being near the water, fishing, swimming, camping and boating, as well as traveling. He will be remembered for being adventurous, courageous, intuitive, loving, and kind, as well as his quick-witted humor and uplifting smile. Sounds like a good fellow, doesn't it? Let me tell you what the obituary didn't tell him. He was having an affair with a married woman, a wife who was married to another man and still living with him. He was having an affair since March of last year with this lady who has children at home, young children. He called up the husband of the wife and threatened to come beat him up and have him killed. What did it say? He went peacefully to be with the Lord. The day he was killed, he was to have the adulterous woman with him in the car. Something happened, she didn't go, or she might have been in the same spot as he. Now here's the thing I want you to understand. There were people, church-going people, Pentecostal people. I got on their Facebook and I found out what they were saying about the deal. Praying for comfort for my sissy and all your family and friends gone way too soon. We will always be here. And they put the name of the adulterous woman. We will always be here for her. So rest easy, buddy. Another one said, I'm in a loss for words. We love you so much. Gone way too soon. This doesn't make any sense. Why, God, why? We love you. The name of the woman he was running with. Praying for all the family. Praying for all the family and friends. We need all your prayers. Another one said, prayers for you all. So sorry for your loss. May God wrap you up in His loving embrace. The mother of the adulterous woman. My heart goes out to my daughter. She's having an affair, a married woman, with this man who is married to somebody else, separated from her, but still married to her. Mom is saying, my heart goes out to my daughter, family and friends. God can heal your heart of all your pain and suffering in this time of need. I love you all. Mother says, I am so sorry. May God walk with you and lean on Him in this difficult time. Now let me ask you a question. Who is preaching and telling them that you can live in adultery, commit adultery, and still expect God to come down and wrap you up in their love? What preacher? Where did he get the idea that you can live any old lifestyle you want to? You can live any place, any way you please. And God is in the picture with you. Somewhere, somehow, there is a false gospel that's going forth. I went to the man's Facebook page and there was a picture of the adulterous woman and one with a very skimpy outfit on. So there was no doubt. How in the world can he go peacefully to be with the Lord? Where is that gospel coming from? What kind of a gospel is that? That you can live any old way you please, but when you die, I heard the story about one man. He died and the preacher was really putting it on, you know, how good he was, how great he was. And I heard the mother was sitting, the wife was sitting on the front row with some kids, and she said, one of the boys said, go up there and see if that's your daddy in that casket. But this is the kind of gospel that is going forth. We can live any way we want to. We can do anything we desire, any way we want to live. And yet God is all loving and all caring, and there is no repercussions for those kinds of lives. God have mercy. Jesus said there will be. Amen? False prophets. The chief trait of a false prophet is that they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Sheep's clothing. Outwardly they appear as all ministers and sheep of God in profession and behavior, call and position and message. I walked into the Chambersburg Hospital the other day dressed in my suit, and there was a lady I'd never seen before in my life sitting in the chair inside the door, and she said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" But she didn't know what kind of preacher I was. I could have been a false preacher. Hello? If you just go on by the outward appearance, Jesus is saying they'll look good. They'll look wonderful. They'll be pleasing. They'll look the part. They'll act the part. But inwardly, they are filled with growling and ravenous and evil and wicked. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that within they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Hear the words of Paul. They are evil. They're filled with wickedness, and yet they appear. They transform themselves to be everything that they ought to be in the face of people. Ravening wolves, inwardly false teachers, and anything but sheep. Some false teachers are just like wolves in that they may be aware that they are not. They are not aware of what they should be. They go about doing what they know to do, not knowing what they do is corrupt and evil. I took classes at Lutheran Theological Seminary in Gettysburg, studying for a master's in Old Testament theology. And as I was sitting in these classes, the professor, several of the professors that I was sitting under were telling us, old grandma sitting down on the porch, she believes that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were written by Moses, but we know that's not true. Let grandma think it if she wants to, but we scholars, we know that we don't know who wrote it. Just A, B, C, and D, whoever that is. They would say, I sat there in this class, and this guy has 4 degrees behind his title, and I wondered. He said, "Some people believe there is such a thing as the devil. There is no such thing. There is no Satan." He told this class of would-be pastors that are now pastoring in the Lutheran denomination or whatever church they went to after they graduated from school. He said, "We know there is no Satan. There is no such personal being. There is no hell." Hey, professor. We had our time. We have time. I had one of those professors sit down. We had made a circle of chairs. And he wanted us to discuss some of the epistles written by Paul. And so we were discussing some of the doctrine of the epistles. And I was just, he wanted us to go around the circle and give our thoughts and what have you. And after I come around, I gave the meaning of the scripture and what Paul was saying and what it was all about. And he got 4 degrees behind his name. Professor of theology. And he said, you know, I just now understand that. I've never been able to understand what that said. Here he is teaching preacher. And he doesn't know what the Bible says. He doesn't understand what it says. And he's telling them to go out and preach whatever gospel. When you get to your pulpit, tell them there's no Satan. Tell them there's no hell. Tell them they can live. And you know, every weekend when I come back the next week for class, they had been to the professor's house drinking and getting drunk and having a big time at the professor's house. And they were all ordained ministers. Jesus said some of them don't even know that what they're saying and what they're doing is being a wolf in sheep's clothing. Some false teachers are just like wolves. They are out for self and personal gain, ego, recognition. Let me ask you a question. What preacher needs a $500 million house? What preacher needs to have his own airport? Full of jets. Not jets for the ministry, they belong to him. Because he can fly wherever he wants to fly. And go wherever he wants to. Just going out for a cruise, you know. Linda and I are there now and then. We get in her little buggy and we go for a cruise. He's going for a cruise of 35,000 feet in his own private jet. Jesus is saying some of them are only in it for their own benefit and their own well-being.
Amen.
And I've heard some of them brag about it. Some false teachers are just like wolves in that they want to pack in which to move and have be identified. Well, I've got I have a 5,000. And he doesn't know one of them by name. When one of them gets sick and is in the hospital, he never goes to see them. He never prays for them in person. He knows nothing about the people that are out there in front of him. He has absolutely no clue as to who they are. That's not a shepherd. That's somebody who wants a pack to run with and to tell others about. I've got a whole lot to preach here and I've got 10 minutes to get it done. Jennifer LeClaire, author for Charisma Magazine, says this: when preachers tour like rock stars, it is no wonder sinners flock to stadiums. Of course, preachers holding stadium-sized events packed out with lost souls is awesome. Unless those preachers present a hyped-up, watered-down, seeker-friendly gospel that's giving the assurance of heaven while sending people to hell. Listen to her. She says, I am convinced that too many people who claim to be Christ followers are not really saved because some false teacher, some false prophet, is propagating a different gospel centered on another Jesus. I am convinced that many self-professing saints are going to sit right next to sinners in hell when it's all said and done, thanks in no part to the rock star preachers presenting a hyped up, watered down, seeker-friendly gospel. Especially in America, it's easy to say, I believe in Jesus. It's called mental assent. I believed in Jesus before I got saved. How many of you believed in Jesus before you got saved? Did that save you? No. It took something different. I was still on my way to hell, even though I said I believed in Jesus. Many who have accepted Jesus into their hearts have responded to a different gospel centered on a false Christ. What do these gospels espouse? The gospels are mixed with compromise. These gospels are impure, defiled religion. These gospels offer a humanistic self-help message that taps New Age principles. Indeed, these false teachers and false preachers are moving in a false anointing and presenting a false Christ, and it is deadly. False teachers, Jesus said, in sheep's clothing, they can easily deceive. They appear as sheep or messengers of light. They appear harmless, innocent, and good. They start out as excellent examples of society, but they lack two things: a life and a testimony changed by the Word of God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Who do we follow? We follow Jesus. They secretly, Jesus said, deceive, preach heresies. They proclaim justice, morality, righteousness, and good. They teach mental and emotional and physical strength, all the high ideals and commendable ideals of men, but they never preach the true gospel of the living Lord. Listen to the Apostle Peter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter said that about the early church. They will be there. And let me tell you, friend, they are among us. They are in America. They are in the world. And they are preaching their gospel. Paul said in Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
If anybody ever preaches anything that Jesus didn't preach in the Sermon on the Mount, run. Get away. You need to get out of town there. Amen?
Amen.
You need to stand for the truth. Inwardly, false prophets are wolves, real wolves, knowingly or unknowingly. They may appear as sheep, but they are wolves. They have not confessed the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These false preachers have not put off the old man of the world. Paul said in Ephesians that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Who does Paul say there is supposed to put off the old man? The Holy Ghost is supposed to put him off? Jesus is going to come and take the old Edna? Huh? What Paul say? You got to do it. You got to crucify him. How many of you have ever said no in your life? I see some of you. How many have ever said a no and you meant it?
Yeah.
I had a salesman call me one time on the phone, and I said no, and he kept on selling. And I said no again. And he kept on selling. And finally, the third time, I said, what part of no don't you understand? Goodbye. No is crucifying the old flesh. How many has ever had the old flesh tell you, I want some of that? Huh? Well, there's been a many a time I've had the third chicken leg. And I go back past the pan, and there's a fourth one laying there saying, eat me. And I'm saying, I want to. But I can't. I gotta go back with an empty plate. I say to that chicken leg, I'm not going to eat you today. I'm going to the pecan pie. The old flesh, he wants.
Amen.
And Paul is saying, you're the one that has to put him off. You're the one. Paul said, you put him off. Oh yes, the Lord forgives us of all of our sin. The Lord cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. He washes our slate clean. But let me tell you, when it comes around to temptation, do you remember when Jesus was tempted? Did God the Father come down and stand between Jesus and the devil and say, no, devil, you can't do that? No, 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 no. Who had to tell the devil, get behind me?
Jesus.
That's teaching us a lesson. So it's up to us to put off the old flesh, put off the old man. It's up to us when somebody is telling us, oh, it doesn't matter how you live. Just come to church. God loves everybody. God won't send anybody to hell. He's a loving God. Oh, he is a loving God. And no, he won't send anybody to hell. They send themselves.
Amen.
Because they don't put off the old man. So any other gospel, Paul says, will cause those individuals to be punished. A false prophet sometimes does not know he is false. Eli, I'm jumping ahead. He is deceiving because he himself has been deceived. Back in the charismatic move. Let me get this mic out of here again, see. Back in the charismatic move. I belong to the Full Gospel Businessmen. Good organization. These businessmen come together and they had meetings, and we preached and prayed and sang and worshiped the Lord, and people come in and got saved. But there was a guy that came through town down in Eastern Maryland, and he told the full gospel businessmen there in that meeting, he said, some of you born again, Holy Spirit filled, tongues talking Christians have demons in you. I said, whoa. And he proceeded to pass out tissue papers to everybody in the room. And he said, now I want you to spit your demons out in the tissue. Now here's these Holy Spirit filled, tongues talking people trying to gag and spit and sputter and spit out their demons. Well, I wasn't at the meeting. Good thing I wasn't there. We'd have had a demon come alive. Some of my people come back and told me about this. I said, that's heresy. It's not scriptural. You cannot be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in a heavenly language and have the devil living in the same temple. It's not scriptural. And yet there were sitting hundreds of Christian people who went away telling other ones, you got to spit your demons out. Because some dude came through town teaching a false gospel and a false doctrine. He thought he was telling the truth. He wrote a book. I read the book and I wrote him a letter. Heresy. Falsehood. It's against Jesus. It's against the Word. You need to cut this out. I warn people. You need to stay away from that. It's your duty and responsibility. I'm coming down to the close now. It's only five after. Hold to your seat. How can we tell if a false prophet is false, a preacher is false? Jesus gave us one revealing mark. By the fruit he gathers. A false prophet is known by the fruit he feeds upon and the fruit he feeds to others. Brother Mark was telling me the other day, he got up and he turned the TV on and this guy was a preaching, and boy, it sounded good and sounded wonderful and sounded marvelous. And boy, all of a sudden after a while he said, now you have to sow some seed into my ministry. Send me $1,000. I went to Hagerstown Theater some years ago, and one of these high by night flying preachers come to town, filled up the Maryland Theater, and I was sitting back in the congregation. He had wrecked his bus the week before. And he got up there on the stage after he preached his little sermon, his little whatnots, and you know, same thing he preached wherever he went. And then he said to the people, God has revealed to me there are 100 people in here who have $1,000 to help me replace my bus. And I saw people starting to get up. I said, Lord, have mercy. These bunch of dummies don't know he had to have insurance on it. The insurance is going to pay for the dumb bus. He's standing there in front of everybody lying. He just wanted to pad his pocket and put some, and he was taking advantage of people. A sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm telling you, Saint, was Jesus right? Was Jesus true in what he said? Some years ago, when Emmanuel Chapel just first started, I'm very careful about who I have filled in this pulpit up here. But there was this guy that was in town preaching, and I went to hear him and listen to him. I thought, well, it sounds pretty good, and I didn't pick up anything. So he came and he preached a good message. But he said at the end of his sermon, all of those that are seeking for the Holy Ghost, we had some folding petitions in the back then. Some of you don't remember that. He said, I want to see all of those that are hungry for the Holy Ghost back in that section back there. I said, I'm going back there. And so he went back there and he began to instruct how to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want to speak in other tongues, you got to say some things that don't make sense. Talk like a baby. Ba 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 boo boo ba 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 ba. I said, whoa, we're done. You're not teaching my people that junk. It's not scripture. It's not the word of God. He didn't like it. I said, this is over. The Bible tells me that they spoke with other languages as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. Not as some dude teaches you, but as the Spirit gives the utterance. So you've got to be on your toes. You've got to be. Jesus said they would be here. And there are times they are convinced that they're telling the truth when they're not in line with the Word of God. So I'm sending you out of here this morning. You check everybody out, including Preacher Lay. If it doesn't go to this Word, if it's not backed by what this book says, if it's not in the words of Jesus, run. I don't care who he is or where she comes from. Can be a she-wolf too. Amen. Make sure that it matches the book. Amen.